radio. 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 About to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 7:05 on March the 11th. Bad Bob, it's Friday.
Indeed.
Are you looking forward to today?
I don't know. In the radio business, one day very much like another.
Bad Bob, you know what? Your vibes are coming over here. Wait a minute. Cancel, Bad Bob. Take those vibes back. This is going to be a great day. We have fantastic guests today. Wade Riggs is going to come in, and he's going to talk a little bit about Happy Days, the musical. But then at 8 o'clock, Bob, we are honored to have two of the finalists in that medal for that Citizen Service Before Self Honors.
Oh, cool.
You know, there's only 20 finalists in the whole United States, entire United States, and two of them are right here in Reading, Debbie Allen and Fred Salonte, and they're both going to be on the show here at 8 o'clock. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I think we should be honored by that, you know, by the fact that their service to this country has gained that type of recognition. They don't give these things out just to, you know, somebody walking down the street. All right, and Linda is on assignment now. You're saying, oh, what's on assignment? Well, the best man of my wedding and one of my best friends came into town yesterday with his wife, and so she's making sure they're taken care of, and then we'll link up here after the show. Yeah, you know, Pat and Lori. There's stories about us riding Harleys across the United States that are interesting, so perhaps I'm glad he's not here today to talk about that, how he tried to kill me with a poncho. Okay, what's the weather today?
With a poncho? Okay, this deserves to be told. It looks like going to be mostly sunny today and then increasing clouds tonight. Rain likely for your Saturday, 43 degrees right now. Weather always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards.
Well, it looks like it happened. Wisconsin passed that anti-union law. The Wisconsin State Assembly on Thursday approved sweeping restrictions on public sector unions in a stinging rebuke of the labor movement that critics fear will encourage other states to follow. Too late. Idaho, Ohio, Tennessee, they're all doing it. What began a month ago as a Republican effort in one small U.S. state to balance the budget has now turned into a national confrontation with unions that could be the biggest since President Ronald Reagan fired striking air traffic controllers nearly 30 years ago. And Walker insisted the limits are needed to help the state's cash-strapped cities deal with a projected $1.27 billion drop in aid over the next 2 years. And the state itself has got a $3.6 billion budget gap. As I said yesterday, Brown would crawl a mile down Hollywood Boulevard on his hands and knees if he could reduce the $20 billion deficit just to three. And the House panel is into the devil, into the Muslims' radicalization, and they're doing that. That's been King, the man that's running it, says to combat this threat, moderate leadership must emerge from the Muslim community. Today, we must be fully aware that homegrown radicalization is part of al-Qaeda's strategy to continue attacking the United States. And he has accused the Muslim community of refusing to cooperate with law enforcement and charged that preaching in some U.S. mosques are leading to radicalization. Some lawmakers said King's approach unfairly demonized a single religious group. You know, let me just repeat what I said yesterday. You know, terrorism is terrorism, whether it's in a mosque or in a Westboro Baptist church or if it's in a non-denominational house out in the desert calling itself a church, it's still terrorism. And there are mosques where there's radicalization being preached. They've got proof of that. What he's asking is, why don't we look at all religions? Why don't we look at everybody that could be recruited by terrorists, whether they're al-Qaeda or other branches or other kinds, all flavors here, and take a good look at it in the community? I see no problem with that. I see no problem with looking at every rock, looking at everything to keep our people safe. They're not imposing laws on mosque or Muslims, are they? They're looking in. It's just a committee to look into the possible radicalization of people in going to mosque. Where's the fear? Why is the fear? Usually when there's fear, it's because there's something that people don't want to get out. What could that be? If nothing, be open. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Okay, Bob, I'm waiting.
Does it all have to be banging?
It does. It's
okay,
got to start.
Whatever.
Hey, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 7:15 in the morning on March the 11th. And the weather is, Bob hid the thermometer from me. Bob.
42 degrees.
You never do that to Linda. You never do that to Linda. You always have it up for when I'm here. So what's going to happen today? Is it raining?
To reiterate, mostly sunny today, increasing clouds tonight. Rain likely on Saturday, currently 43 degrees.
43, and it's always brought to you, the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And tonight we're going to go up there because Rick Hill is playing the guitar. And if you want tables up there, you better give him a call to make a reservation because Rick plays great. People always go up there. It's a great night. Five-star dining, great ambiance. The service is just wonderful, and just have a great time up there. That's in Anselmo Vineyards, just about 12 miles outside of Palo Cedro. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. 501 East Cypress, Monday through Friday. This is the last day this week. You can get that breakfast special, $3.99, $4.99, or $5.99. Ham and eggs, chicken fried steak, New York steak and eggs. Great prices, great food, and the service is really always friendly. And it's a local restaurant owned by our neighbors here in Reading. That's Lumberjacks. You can't go wrong there. 501 East Cypress. Okay. How about the tsunami that slammed into Japan? Bad bomb. Biggest earthquake on record to hit Japan struck the northeast coast on Friday, triggering a 10-meter tsunami that swept away everything in its path, including houses, ships, cars, and farm buildings. It killed at least 59 people. It was an 8.9 magnitude quake. Said that a radioactive leak was possible at a nuclear plant, but they went out and checked it. There is no leak. And if you took a look at these photos and the videos on the news, you'd see it was just like it just was coming down, destroying everything. And of course, the other times, you know, and Hawaii's under tsunami alert, so they've had like they think maybe a foot of water that's kind of they think maybe it's come up and down. I remember living in Hawaii one time, and there was a big tsunami alert for us. And they, if you lived down in the low-lying areas, you know, close to the beach, they made you evacuate. So we drove on, and many places in Hawaii are like that, of course, on the Big Island. And so, and on Oahu. So we drove on up to the top of the hill, which was, so you could still, you know, you could see the house and everything. Meanwhile, cars are driving like crazy, heading for the beach. The surfers were waiting for it. There was rumors there could have been a 20-foot wave coming. They wanted to be out there. They wanted to surf the tsunami. As it turned out, nobody could tell if it was a tsunami or not. Maybe the water came in. Maybe it didn't. It was our that was our big excitement there. And here in town, Horizon Air is pulling out of Reading, April 17th. Last flight. Another way that we've been cut off from the outside world. And then there was a protest. There's a protest against the charter city. The idea of a charter city in Reading. About 60 people, 50 to 60 people were out there chanting, had signs, stop expanding government, charter city, an experiment we can't afford. There was even a gent dressed up like Uncle Sam. They beat snare drums, carried flags. And the group is Reading taxpayers against the charter. Protested at the charter city exploratory committee as they gathered for their third meeting. Now, here's the thing about it is that they're worried that they can take too much power. They're worried that the charter city can raise taxes, can give themselves too much power, like Bell, California. There's a lot of charter cities here in California. I don't see other cities, you know, like San Francisco and L.A. and I mean, just hundreds of other charter cities in California. I don't see them like Bell. Bell was a result of, good old boys network and families and people not caring, no press, and people not really realizing what was going on. This has been going on a long time. I don't think that will happen here. And here's my take on this. You may not want to have a charter city. I don't know if I want to have a charter city. I haven't gone through all the facts yet. I'm willing to let this committee do and delve into all these, you know, the minutia of it. We are going to have a speaker next week. He's going to call in, and this guy's an expert on charter cities. He thinks charter cities are a great thing. So besides him, we'll have somebody else that thinks charter cities is not such a great thing, and we'll try to get both sides of the issue. The idea being is that charter cities gives as a stronger mayor, has people that get elected out of districts instead of just citywide, and also the fact they can maybe change some of the things like in privatization about how much you pay people, how much people get, if they have to have the same wages as prevailing wages as like unions and such, or can you pay them less? What other things can you do under a charter city? We had Dr. Leah Tate was on here the other day. She heads up the committee. And it's just, the committee just started. We didn't ask her a bunch of questions about it, but we will the next time she comes back here. And we've got to take a break here. Our guest today, Wade Reeks, who's going to be talking about Happy Days. But again, Fred Salanti and Debbie Allen, who have been nominated for the most prestigious award given to civilians by this country. Two of them right here in Reading. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:24 in the morning on March the 11th. Gosh, it's a Friday. And there they are, the KCNR Chat Pack. Are you all sure you like that name? The Chat Pack? Okay. You voted on it. You can change it if you want to. I personally like the 300 better, the 300 that go into combat, unafraid, oiled down. Okay. You're saying Jim Nielsen's on the phone? Okay.
Yes, Carl. He's got a breaking story about the budget, public safety.
All right. Hey, that's Assemblyman Nielsen. Good morning.
Carl, we talked about veterans' homes yesterday. We're talking about public safety. We've got some details of the governor's so-called public safety budget yesterday, 1,000 pages. We don't even have it complete now, but 1,000 pages. Up to 38,000 offenders between parolees and prisoners are going to be in our community this coming year because of this plan. The year after, in 2013, rather, be 68,000 individuals.
When you say 38,000, Jim, you mean they're being released back into the Shasta County area?
Well, throughout California.
Oh, okay, throughout California.
Lots of them are going to be in Shasta County, you bet. Okay. Now convicted felons, including those with long sentences for major drug dealing and child abusers, will not be incarcerated in prison. Making hundreds of felony offenses now misdemeanors and not give judges any latitude to reduce them or to increase them and sentence them as felons rather than misdemeanors. It's going to give about 40,000 inmates now an early right to vote that they don't now have. It is going to dump all the parole system, or most of it, on the counties. They cannot handle it. It's going to require the judges and our courts to be the parole board of California. They can't handle it. So all of these new thousands of individuals that will be in our community, and when they have problems, then the courts are going to have to deal with them at the local level, which means they won't get dealt with, and they will get away with their criminality. It's just stunning how severe the consequences of this is. and we're still sorting through it. And the governor wants to fast-track this in just a few minutes. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. In fact, he is going to reduce the prison population more than the federal courts have even suggested that we need to reduce them because of overcrowding. It's just absolutely stunning.
So this thing, when they turn these people loose, are they going to supposedly give us the money to try and take care of this, or are they just dropping them on us?
Well, no. There's the argument is for 5 years of tax increases. Yes. Okay.
Oh.
You get 5 years of tax increases to so-called fund it, but don't count on that. There are provisions in here that the state hardly ever keeps its word, and as we're looking at the fine print, there's a lot of outs for the state. The bottom line is they're going to be dumped on local government, and
right.
Frankly, the phase two of the governor's plan is to let local government raise taxes by 55%, so you now have all of these inmates that are in your local jails, they're in your communities, they're under the authority of your courts and probation, and now we don't have enough money here in the state of California, so you go to your local taxpayers to pay for it. I guarantee you that's the end game. They keep trying to deny it to me, but they could not deny that they are proposing 55% in this second phase of realignment.
So they
and they're even changing Chelsea's law that the people of California voted for, relating to, it was an agreement relating to requiring three petty thefts with priors for three-strike purposes. Instead of one, you had to have three. They're getting rid of that now, too. Even changing the state constitutional or the state statutory initiative, the people of the state of California. And no public hearing whatsoever on all this vast shift of inmate policy, parole policy, sentencing policy in the state of California. It is stunning.
And when is this? And when are they supposed to vote on this, Jim?
Well, it's not going to be this week, but within the next few weeks. The governor wants to get it done within a couple of weeks. He wanted to have it done as of yesterday, and it did not get done yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But ironically, the day that he wanted to have the final vote, we didn't even have the language. We're just getting it and trying to sort through it now. 1,000 pages. Who in the world could even review it? I think, I've got two staff to look at this, to read the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
Two staff.
Well, we've seen this before. We've seen this at the national level, and now it's down to the state level. We've got a minute left, Jim, if you want to hang on over the break, but what can people do?
I just say be aware that it's coming and send in your cards and letters, but don't send them to Jim Nielsen or Doug LaMalfa. I'm in the front line of this one. I've lived it too many decades, but contact your friends and neighbors around California to tell them that we've got to stop this governor's so-called public safety plan. Tell those local legislators to vote no. That'll help me stop the train.
Okay. All right, Jim, thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for the phone call and the heads up on this, and I'll just talk about it later on. This is a huge impact. This can be a huge impact on our community, on the state of California. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, I've got to take a break here. Carl and the Bot. Way to end your this segment on the Free Fire Radio. Join us after these messages. Radio, it's Carl and the Bot. Linda's on assignment taking care of my best buddy and his wife, making sure they're taken care of this morning while I'm up here playing with my friends, the chat pack. All the listeners out there, it's 7:35 in the morning on March the 10th. We're having a great time. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. That's right, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I love walking in there, going into that humidor. And just, you know, it's just kind of like it's got its own aroma in there. And I pick out the cigars I like, and they've got grab bags of really fine cigars at reduced prices. And I'll take one of those now and then. But I have my favorites that I have. And of course the girls there are very, very knowledgeable of cigars. You have questions, and Shelley's always good to answer any question about what goes on there. And then over, pop on over and get a cup of coffee at Espresso Joe's, and just sit down outside with my friends. It's a good place, Tobacco and Brew. It's a good place. You know, if you're a veteran, you might go on down there and see some of your compadres there. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Carl, it might be useful this time for new listeners, maybe people who've had a little trepidation about entering the chat room. It doesn't cost you anything. It's absolutely painless. You don't have to give us credit cards. All you have to do is go to KCNR1460.com, click on the big on-air light, drops you right into the chat room, pick a name, and join in the festivities. We always enjoy new people coming into the chat room, by no means an exclusive club.
That's right. We get a lot of people in there, and you know what? We have only have one rule. Let's be civil to each other. You know, nobody has to give their name, their real name. I mean, you can if you want to. Everybody pretty much knows who everybody else is. But, yeah, come on here and give us your thoughts. You know, we get so many great questions. So many great questions out of the chat room. We have people here. Okay, let's go. Okay, let's just talk a little bit about what Jim Nielsen just said to us, is that under this new proposed law, this 1,000-page law that got dropped on him yesterday by the governor, and he's got two people that's reading through it as fast as they can, but trust me, 1,000 pages? And you know it's written in legalese, so if you can understand it, you know, it's you've got to be a lawyer to understand it. But what it looks like is they're talking about 38,000 convicted felons which might be released back into the state of California, changing and keeping judges from being able to change misdemeanors into felonies, just keeping them at misdemeanors. That when the convicts are released and come back to the county, that our parole system is going to have to pick it up. You know, unless money, and money equates to time and people, comes along with them, that means our system's going to be overrun. Anyway, the governor wants to fast-track this. He's releasing more than the federals want. And Nielsen believes the government wants the locals to end up paying for this. In other words, if you don't raise taxes, then the locals are going to have to pay taxes on this. Well, we're going to keep following this. It was great for Assemblyman Nielsen to give us a call. He called us twice in a row here. One to talk about the Veterans Home, which is great. That's still on track. But this is a vast shift in what's going on. A vast shift. I mean, we were talking about this. We've had to close down one floor of the jail, and now we're talking about coming in. Hey, can we say perfect wave? We're losing police. We're losing sheriffs. Closing down floors on the jail, and now they're going to release more convicts back into the area. And let me think about it. How many of these guys have really learned their lesson? Well, the guy Monday, who met his end when he tried to kill a policeman, he had had a long list of felonies on his record. He hadn't learned his lesson. And I believe there's probably many others that they're out. And they're not particularly wanting to set up a new life. Could be wrong, but I don't think so. Okay. You know, when you hear things like that, yeah, you know, you should just see, you know, just hearing all the comments here. Well, Australia started out as a penal colony. Tsunami. Hold on to your kids. Oh. And Linda, if you want to sing with Coach Bob today, you're invited. Oh, and then as Dennis says, you can't get rid of three strikes. Well, they're talking about maybe changing that too. What can I say? Okay, what do we got here? Concealed weapons. It looks like the sheriff in Yolo County is having a trial. Looks like there's going to be some consternation over it. It seems like the sheriff in Yolo County says something to the effect is, how much discretion California's law enforcement officials have in issuing concealed weapons permits is the subject of a federal lawsuit with national overtones. Yeah, a federal lawsuit. They are challenging a policy by Yolo County Sheriff Ed Prieto, who says applicants must have a reason to carry concealed weapons, such as a threat to their safety. In other words, the sheriff is saying you've got to have a reason to carry. Sheriff Besinkville, rightfully so, looks at it as, I have a right to carry a concealed weapon. It's given to me by the Constitution. You know, Sheriff Besinkel will be on next week. We want to talk to him about that. That's really interesting, is that now, is, you know, and but see, there's, and you know, we look at it in Yolo County, but I think you see it in the big places like L.A., Oakland, San Francisco, San Diego, is they, you know, you have to come up with, you know, 1,000 reasons to carry down there. Here in Shasta County, you have the right. In many states, they don't even, you know, you have, it's just, you're guaranteed the right to do that. You don't have to jump through hoops. Anyway, we've got to take a quick break. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment. Our people from Happy Days are here, so we'll roll them in. And, of course, at 8 o'clock, we're going to have Fred Salanti and Debbie Allen and talk about that great honor that they've been involved in. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media and Carl and Linda Bott, 7:44 in the morning on March the 11th. It's Friday. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. Don't call that 800 number for Dish Satellite. Call Doug Tooley at 244-1988. He's moved to 1345 Liberty Street. But the same great service, he guarantees it, professional. He's been in the job. He's been on the job since 1985. Except for that time he was out with the 82nd Airborne, jumping out of perfectly good planes. That's Doug Tooley, B&T Satellite. We use him at the house. We have this satellite that he put in with his company at our house, and we've been nothing but kudos for him. Okay, after getting the word that they're releasing every convict in the world to come back to Shasta County, speaking of the future, we have it right here in the studio with us. We have a cast of Happy Days the Musical. Let's start with the most beautiful one here.
Oh, thanks.
And who are you?
I'm Savannah Harder, and I'm playing the role of Pinky Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero. You know, the funny thing is I remember that. I'm gonna, and there's probably a lot of people that do, but there's people out there going, what's a Pinky Tuscadero? But
she's pretty much just the female version of Fonz, and it was kind of their love interest is... What it was Fonz's first love, pretty much.
Okay, and let's go to our next one. Mm-hmm. And you are?
My name is Marshall Jones III, and I'm playing the role of Richie Cunningham.
I can see that. You know what? I can see you, Richie. I really can.
I think so.
I mean, you've got that kind of like that, yeah, I'm a good guy attitude.
Oh, he totally is.
Okay, now then you must be?
I'm the Fonz.
And what's your name?
My name is Ben Day.
And you are the Fonz.
Okay. I am the Fonz.
Okay, now, Ben Day, when you're not being the Fonz, what do you do?
I actually sell mortgage insurance.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, you look like you're, you know, all of you probably got regular jobs, but you look like you're teenagers, which is, I guess, is what you're supposed to do, huh?
Maybe. I actually look like I'm, you know, 19, 20,
yeah.
28, though, so. Yep.
Bob's shoes are older than you are. Okay, Savannah, tell us about Happy Days the Musical.
Well, this is based around, you know, the original show that was going on. This play is based on about 5 episodes because Pinky Tuscadero was only in actually almost only 5 episodes.
Right.
And so what we do is we're going back to save Arnold's because somebody bought the land and... We have to raise money to outbid them so that we can actually, you know, keep it our hangout spots, our place where we always, you know, spend time with our friends, you know, of Happy Days.
So how many years have passed then? I mean, is there a time warp or like it's been a few years, everybody's gone off and they're coming back?
Actually, this is based on the last year of Richie Cunningham's high school.
Oh, okay.
So this is the last year right before he goes off to college.
Okay, and now Richie.
Mm-hmm.
How's Mr. and Mrs. C?
You know, they're great parents, and it's been a good trip to get to know the two actors. They've almost become like a second set of parents.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So Victoria has?
Yes.
And Mrs. C?
Yes.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
They always have tricks up their sleeve.
I bet they do. Who's playing the Mr. C?
That'd be Brian Storm.
Okay, Brian Storm. And Dan Kupski plays Arnold?
Arnold.
Yes.
Or male. No, Arnold. Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, that sounds like fun. Now, let me ask you, is the Fonz a good influence or a bad influence?
You know, I think he's a good influence because he's taught us all, my friends and I, he's taught us to fight. And ultimately, that's what ends up saving Arnold's. So I think he is a good influence.
Oh, okay, Fonz.
Hey.
So, and can you give us that?
Hey.
All right, you're
really
getting it.
Definitely
good. So, you know, being the Fonz, has it changed your life at all?
Oh, completely changed my life. You know. No, it really hadn't. I'm pretty sure he was already the Fonz. No, I was already the Fonz. He was already Richie. I mean, he's the most responsible guy in real life. the other day he pulls out a little pad to write stuff down, to do pad as we're going somewhere. Looked exactly like the one that Richie would have done. I was like, you are Richie.
There you go. Yeah. Okay. Now, how long have you been working on the play?
About 2 months.
Yeah, it's about 6-8 weeks.
6-8 weeks. Now it's a musical. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
Is anybody prepared to sing anything today?
Oh,
after the break. Yeah. After the break. And we'll take a break right now. This is Carl on the bot. Linda's on assignment, but I know she wanted to be here. She said, you know, she's really, you know, really, really enjoys this. And I think that you all were on the show, in fact, last night, mm-hmm. on the spot mm-hmm. with her.
Yep.
So, okay, we'll come back after the after these messages, and we'll finish up on the segment here.
Sunshine, goodbye rain. She's wearing my school ring on her chain. She's my steady, I'm her man. I'm gonna love her all I can.
All right, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott, 7:53 in the morning on the 11th of March, a Friday. And that's right, we've got the cast of Happy Days. Well, part of the cast, we've got Pinky Descadero, we've got Richie Cunningham, and of course, The Fonz.
Hey.
Okay, tell us about when it's going to be and where and for how long.
Okay, the show's March 17th through the 20th and 25th and 26th. Also, it's at the McLaughlin Theater, which is Sequoia Middle School's
great place. It's a great place to have plays there. I've been there before.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And the tickets are $15, and you can purchase those at wemultimedia.com. And they are $15 each, and the doors open at 7 o'clock.
Okay. And they're $15 a piece, and it starts next week.
Yep, St. Patty's Day.
St. Patty's Day, that's right. And I think we'll probably have some tickets to give away for that. Not right now, don't call. Linda's got them, I'm sure, and they're someplace where I can't find them. Okay, so what do you like the most about this play? All of you have been in plays before, obviously.
Yep.
So, Savannah, what do you like best about this play?
The cast is amazing. I've been in so many shows, but this one is truly a family, and I have had such a blast. I mean, you can't get a better crew than what we have.
That's cool. Okay. Marshall.
My favorite part about this play is the music, definitely. I think we're doing over 20 songs, and it's nice to be able to take a step back, get back to our kind of rock and roll roots. Most of the play I'm singing as part of a doo-wop group, the Dial Tones, which is, you know, Potsy, Chachi, Ralph, and I. And it's great learning that whole side of music that that my generation never grew up with.
So, Marshall Jones III, is there any chance you're ever going to teach your uncle to dance?
Well, you know, I figured my uncle is already kind of like the Fonz, seeing as, you know.
He kind of wishes he was the Fonz.
Right.
Okay, so you like the singing in it. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Fonz, what's your favorite part?
Well, you know.
Are you a little bit older than everybody?
Yeah, there's a few people in the cast that are around my age, but yeah, I'm a little older.
But the Fonz always was.
He was. So it
That's
works.
Right.
I love being the Fonz. I mean,
who wouldn't?
I mean, who wouldn't? It's a really fun role. I love the music as well and the cast. The whole thing, it's a really fun. Everything about this play is really fun. The music is fun. There's some hilarious songs in here. The Malachi song has its role in when we're watching it in rehearsal.
Y'all are making me. You know, I don't go to all the plays. I mean, Linda drags me to a lot, but I want to go to this one. I want to go to the Happy Days one. This sounds like it could be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's gonna be
maybe
great.
Bring back some memories there. So, mm-hmm. Now how many? What's your background? Have you had a lot of time in the theater?
I've had more time singing than I have acting. Done a lot of singing.
Okay.
The last thing I did, I was actually a singer in the Cascade Christmas, and then I've done a little bit of acting. But yeah.
So this kind of like puts both of them together then for mm-hmm. you. And Marshall, what about you? You have much. What's your chops there?
Well, this is my first musical. Last semester, I was in an opera at Shasta College, and before that, I just have been playing guitar and singing since around 2003.
Okay, and Savannah.
I am from the music background. I came from Enterprise High School, which has a huge music program, jazz, and all that. And then I also am coming from the theater. I was in a couple plays last year for Riverfront Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have kind of the broad variety of things that I do.
Any of you in MASH?
I wasn't in MASH. No, okay. But we do have a few characters from MASH that are in Happy Days.
Okay, tickets. Where can people get tickets now?
WEMultimedia.com.
And you have to go online to get them?
Correct.
So you can't go to some spot and buy them?
You can go to the Enjoy store, I think.
That's online. You can also go there, and you can call them. Okay. Enjoy Magazine.
What I would do is give a call to, do you have the number for any
of
these?
I don't have the number, but it is online.
Okay, so it's WE...
Multimedia.com.
WEMultimedia.com. And, hey, Bob, see if you can pull that up on the computer. See if you can get a phone number for that. And that way people can call. If people don't have a computer, then they can't get the tickets that way. See, are they going to be on sale that night?
Yes, okay. They will be.
And they'll be on sale, you know, before the show.
Correct.
Okay. Right down there at Sequoia Middle School. And give us the dates again.
March 17th through the 20th and 25th and 26th.
Okay. Well, we're going to go down there and do that. I think it's going to be a good time. You got a phone number there, Bob?
No.
Okay. No phone number on that. Well,
use telephone, you know.
Yeah, you know, there are people that use phones. But you can go down to Sequoia School that night.
247-1925.
247-1925 is the phone number. 247-1925 is the phone number. So we can get your tickets that way. Let's hope we sell them out. Okay, Savannah, Marshall, Bonds, Pinky, Richie, Bonds. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
I think it's going to be a great play. I'm impressed. Anyway, okay, thanks very much, and we will see you then starting next week in Happy Days, the musical. Okay, we're going to we got about a minute left, but then when we come back, Fred Salante and Debbie Allen are going to be here as our guests. Nominees for the most prestigious civilian award at the United States Awards. And for their work and their selfless work for our community, our state, and this nation. These two individuals have had an impact, a considerable impact on the fabric of our nation, and for what they've done, and doing something that doesn't bring them money. They do it because it was right. Carl in the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after the news with Fred and Debbie.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, KCNR, Shasta Redding. Those not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR. Sounded like my motorcycle there for a second there, Bad Bob. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media, 8:05 in the morning, March the 11th. The weather today, it's 45 right now. It looks halfway decent now, but I think it's going to get into the rain later on today. The weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards and Seven Hills Ranch. Great place to eat. Tonight, Rick Hill is going to be entertaining up there and does just a superb job playing the guitar. We're going to go on up there and take a look at it, but you're going to need reservations. They usually sell out, so give them a call up there at the ranch. And Anselmo Vineyards, like 12 miles toward outside of Palisadro, going toward Shingletown. Okay, now, we're honored here. I don't use that term a lot. We're honored to have these two individuals in the studio, Debbie Allen and Fred Salante. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay,
lighter.
Okay, let's get you in a little bit closer to that. Step in there. Okay.
Good morning.
Okay, now we're going. You got to watch out for these soft-spoken individuals. They are just absolutely dangerous. They're tenacious. And they just look at you and they just keep hitting it. Now, the reason that they're here is they've been in the papers lately. And in Record Searchlight, it is really cool when you have people here in the papers. And it's for good things. And so we're talking about an honor that is bestowed on individuals of our country, the highest honor that can be bestowed on individuals in this country. highest civilian honor. It's called the Citizen Service Before Self Honors. And I'm going to ask them questions from Fred and Debbie. They know more about the specifics, but this honor is a nationwide thing that where they take thousands of nominees. They go through a selection process, including Medal of Honor recipients, if I'm correct there, Fred.
Yes, you're
that
correct.
The Medal of Honor recipients themselves go through this. And then it comes down to 20 finalists.
Correct.
In the whole nation. And Fred Salanti and Debbie Allen are two of those finals. Can I congratulate you all?
Thank you.
And as does our community. Now, it's not that they're just, and we're going to talk about why after we take this break, but it's not just the nomination of this whole nation coming down to two. Two of these 20 from the whole nation reside in Reading. Is this seem just a little bit overwhelming?
It's quite the coincidence.
It is quite a coincidence.
Like I mentioned earlier, Carl, there's 30-some states that had no representatives, and we've got two from one little town in California, so that's tremendous.
Well, you know it is. And, you know, I'm going to take a break early because when we come back, I want to talk about the actions you two did. And they're just such selfless actions to bring you all to the attention of this foundation. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR, 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. We like to beat the drum on Fridays. 8:12, March the 11th, and it's 45 degrees outside. It's going to be raining later on today. Our guest, Debbie Allen, and Fred Salanti, both have been nominated for the most prestigious award given to civilians in the United States, called the Citizen Service Before Self Honors. The final decisions are winnowed down by Medal of Honor recipients, the Medal of Honor recipients, the ones from combat. Now, we're going to talk about your programs and how they got started. Then we're going to, during the rest of the show, expand about how you all have expanded it. So, Debbie, let's start with you.
Okay. As some people in our area may remember, December 20th, 2008, my 17-year-old beautiful daughter, Shelby Lynn Allen, died of acute alcohol poisoning. In my initial grieving, as I learned more about alcohol poisoning and just how dangerous alcohol is extremely to our youth and how we don't know and how the popularity of drinking, binge drinking among our youth is the exact way that you get it, as a mother, as a very protective mother of my children, my mother instinct took over because I knew from being myself a teen experimenter with alcohol in the 70s, actually believing that I was doing the safest things compared to the drugs of that time, being 10 years single and definitely knowing the party scene, I knew immediately that not only do our adults and parents not know of this danger and the participation of what our youth and how they are partying out in the party scene these days, but most importantly, our kids don't know this, and they're basically, they were playing with Russian roulette and they have no idea. So my mom instincts, I call it, took over. And I'm only doing what my daughter would have done had she survived on a smaller scale. It's grown to a larger scale because then that right there just shows you how much the subject isn't known, to have this foundation grow so rapidly in such a short period of time.
Well, I think that, you know, we talked to you, Linda and I talked to you when this first started, when
yes.
first happened, and didn't even know if we wanted, you know, we asked, would you like to come on
mm-hmm.
yeah, on the station? And you did, because you realized that as much grief as you had,
yes,
if you could prevent that in
exactly.
another family.
And the more media that,
right.
that I know that, you know, this voice is getting out to many, many ears, and that creates conversation, talking, investigating, and education.
That's
which
right.
is what it's about.
One of the things that struck me was you said she had taken a number of shots of vodka, I
right.
believe, at a certain level.
Right.
That was it. And even though that they drank more, that at that level, because she was 105 pounds, that was it.
Well, you know, you'll hear a lot of times, you know, people teaching moderation, moderation. Well, it's just non-existent for the young adult, for our kids, because their bodies are not equipped for that. We know a lot about the brain development now. And so the difference is I can have one drink, a youth can have one drink, and they're going to almost immediately lose all sense of thinking right or wrong. That's why you'll hear people say they exhibited behavior of going, you know, crazy, running around. That's the brain has taken away that frontal lobe area, where with an adult, you still have quite a bit of that, of course, if you continue to drink in abundance. Also, you know, their liver isn't functioning for them. It's too young. It's too immature. It doesn't know what to do. So they don't even have the safety of the liver taking the poison away from their body. It hits them very hard. And with binge drinking, which is typically your harder liquors, you know, in a fast period of time, that large amount of alcohol can be as little as 4 ounces or less of the alcohol
yeah.
that can put you into alcohol poisoning.
Okay. Well, that's what started, and we're gonna go back, and as we go through this, I want to talk to Fred for a minute, and then talk about what happened since then when you realized that, you know, I have a crusade, I have something that needs to be said. Fred Salanti, I've known you, gosh, since I moved to Redding, Fred, and you came on down here. You lived in Oregon for a while, or they chased you out of there or something. What started the MIAP? The Missing in America Project. If you all don't know what that is, tell them what it is. What started that, Fred?
Well, what started it is that while I was in Oregon, I was working with the Eagle Point National Cemetery, and I was on the national support staff of the Patriot Guard Riders, and I was in charge of the 9 western states for what they call help on the home front programs that are not our KIAs and not stuff, but other events that happen in our communities that we need to sponsor and support. And I was going to the cemetery to look at veterans and veterans' funerals, and found out that every month they had a service for homeless and indigent veterans, or veterans that had no families, and they would do a service to honor them, because at the time they died, the funeral home or the coroner would deliver them to the cemetery, and they would just bury them, but nobody ever recognized them, gave them a rifle salute, gave them a flag, or sent them on their way. And I went to a service there on their normal scheduled time, and there was one chaplain from the domiciliary at White City and one funeral home person and myself, and we buried over 33 veterans that day. So as you look around and you said, wow, here's 33 heroes that worked and tried to give us our freedom in the country, and they're being sent on their way with absolutely nobody knowing it, in silence, and when they fired the rifles, there was nobody to hear it, nobody to see somebody fold a flag, and that was just wrong, Carl.
It is wrong. So, and that I know there must have been an epiphany right there when you saw that.
That was the end of it, and then I started calling some of the other cemeteries on the West Coast to see if they had the same service, and found that most of the West Coast did, but other places in the nation didn't. Then I discovered in Idaho that they had just been turned over 21 veterans and a spouse that came from funeral homes and from storage sheds that were abandoned. And so they had started working to do some state laws to help cover this as a problem.
Okay, now, storage sheds. You found remains in yard sales. And,
yes.
And, I mean, I'm not exaggerating this. Yard sales, things out of, you know, they buy these lockers and things like that, and there's remains in there.
We're talking a foot locker in one case that everybody was tearing through it to find any items, and there was all of his military records, military history, his urn, his remains, his flag. And luckily, one of the people that was there at the sale told the manager, and they then took the items and put them back and called us to come get them. The case we just had a few months ago was the senior master chief from the Air Force, a master sergeant from the Air Force, E9, highest rank you can get. He was abandoned. They found it. Luckily, the storage manager kept it to the side, called CDVA. They called us, and we came and picked him up. We since found out that storage locker belonged to his wife, who had died 2 years after him. She was saving him to be buried with her. And luckily, the county coroner of Sacramento, because she was abandoned too and nobody claimed her, put her in San Joaquin Valley VA Cemetery as the wife of a veteran. But the husband was over there in her storage shed abandoned. In our research, we found this out. So this spring, when right after daylight saving times changes, we got a longer day, we're going to reunite him and do a motorcycle escort to San Joaquin Valley at Santanella and have him buried with his wife.
Wow. That's great. Okay, now, we've got to take a break. When we come back, Debbie, we'll come back to you. And once it started, how did you spread the word? And the same thing for you, Fred, when we come back, you knew, is that, okay, you found this, so... There's a lot more to them. You're telling some instances right now, but from the beginning, pushing this out and making this making it a nationwide organization that you both have. Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest, Fred Salante and Debbie Allen, finalists in this most prestigious award, the Citizen Service Before Self Honors. Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl on the Bot. Linda's on assignment today with taking care of my best friend and his wife here. They're in town and making sure they're situated. Our phone lines here are 530-605-4567. Of course, we're chatting and streaming at KCNR1460.com. It's 8:25 in the morning on March the 11th, a Friday, which only means two more working days till Monday. This portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. You know, Lumberjacks has six dinners. Okay, that's right. Six dinners for $9.99, under $10. And we're not talking like hamburger. We're talking baby back ribs, New York steak, popcorn shrimp, Salisbury steak. I mean, these are really good meals. And that's, you also get your choice of super salad and a loaf of homemade bread. That's Lumberjacks. It's a local business run by neighbors here in Reading, and they're at 501 East Cypress. The service is really good, and the food is excellent. That's Lumberjacks. Go back to our guest here, Debbie Allen and Fred Salante, both nominated in the final 20 now for the Citizen Service Before Self Honors, which is probably it's the highest award a civilian can get in the United States. 20 are in the, I believe 20 are in the finals here, and two out of Reading. How incredible is that? And Debbie, we'll go to Debbie here, and the foundation she began with Shelby Rules, and we've talked about that. After you realized that this was a problem, and it wasn't just a problem in River City here, it was a problem probably worldwide.
Right.
What happened next?
Well, I thought of the name, and Shelby's Rules, you know, the rules. It's rules that Shelby would have been teaching her friends. You know, here's the new rules of what I've learned with alcohol. Immediately at her memorial, I announced the plan, the foundation, and within 3 weeks, I was up at my first presentation. The beginning was with this abundance of help from my broken husband, my broken family, from his work, from teens, present and past of Shelby's friends, old friends, new friends from the community. We started our first meetings and it took off, word of mouth. After that first presentation, it was from there that, you know, if you get other contacts, you know, will you come to my school, will you come here and there, and that's how it's grown from the beginning. I've been throughout our state, Indiana, Wyoming, to name a few. I've had emails from, you know, Ontario, I mean, excuse me, from Canada, from Paris, places I haven't been, where kids have heard of the rules and they either are not drinking anymore because they've learned alcohol is dangerous to them, or they've curtailed the way that they are. They're more aware of what they're doing, and that within a matter of a few gulps, a few hours, their life could leave. We've sent Shelby's friends to the Steve Wilco show. That really gave us a lot of national and worldwide attention. It's amazing how many watch that show. And we actually have a new shipment of wristbands coming in because they all went away after the contacts that we had with that show.
What are you, when we say Shelby's rules, what are some of the rules?
Okay, Shelby's rules. Alcohol plus vomiting equals 911. Does that mean everyone that vomits is going to die or have alcohol poisoning? No, but it means antennas up, like my time. If you think of alcohol, which is a poison, ethanol is in the alcohol. If you think of alcohol like you would think of rat poisoning, and if you saw somebody drink rat poisoning and then they started exhibiting signs of being sick, vomiting, what would we do? We would call 911. We would call Poison Center. We would get them help. Why? Because we know they can die. It's the same thing with alcohol. It's the same danger. And when a body is poisoned, these symptoms are always the same. So Shelby's rules is the rules of the symptoms. Know what to see, when trouble, when fun, when takes a bad turn. Know the symptoms. And know that the only way to get them help is they must have medical help. So Shelby's Rules is all about saving lives. That's what it's about.
And being able to guarantee to your kids when you go out that if something happens and they get a phone call, they're not going to get in trouble for this.
Exactly. And we do have a society of youth now. Unfortunately, I don't understand it, but some will not call for help.
Okay, we got to take a break. We got a hard break here otherwise. We come back, we'll finish that up, and then we'll get back to Fred Salanti. Carl and Linda Bott, our guest, Fred Salanti and Debbie Allen. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning, 8:34 in the morning on the 10th. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. D.C. Tim and the Man in Black give great haircuts. They give discounts to veterans, as they should. They give. There's no hairstyle in there. There's no toes or fingers painted. It's just great haircuts. So go down and see them. It's man's last stronghold, I promise you. If you don't believe that, look at the sign on their front window as you walk in at Cypress Square Barbershop. Our guests are Fred Salanti from the Missing in America Project and Debbie Allen from Shelby Rules Foundation. And we want to finish up, Debbie, with you.
Okay.
Is that okay? We've got the rules and we've got some of those rules, and now it's spreading nationwide and even worldwide.
Yes. And so basically the rules, which is real important, so I'll put it out there real quick again, with alcohol poisoning is, vomiting is not normal. Our youth today think vomiting, no big deal. Vomiting is the first symptom you get when a body is poisoned, if you're lucky. Semi-unconscious behavior. That person is in trouble with alcohol. Stay with them. Never leave them alone. Unconscious behavior. They're in trouble. They need help. They need medical help. If you cannot wake them up, that body, 9 times out of 10, is dying right before your eyes. And we have children we have lost who have been marked up. That's evidence that their friends were alive, marking their body up while their body was
dying.
With the
magic markers.
With magic markers.
Yeah.
Coolness to their body, hypothermia sets in, bluish on their lips, their fingers. This is all not normal. Slow breathing. It's never normal, even if we're not unconscious, to breathe very slowly. And if we haven't drank alcohol, it's never normal not to be able to wake a body up.
Right.
Something is extremely wrong.
Now, those are the rules, and then they've started spreading. Do you have organizations in other states or is it just kind of like from you all and you give out the information, or have other organizations now formed?
There aren't other organizations. It's from us, and it's amazing how each school I go to, how from that one contact, how many more will go. And you know, as honorable as it is to receive this award, initially when any award like this comes, I don't think of it as to me. It's to the foundation. And what I think of immediately is, oh good, more national media on a national problem. More and more we're seeing, in fact, I just saw on Glee, which is a popular show, where they did a one episode all on dangers of alcohol. More and more we're recognizing that this is not the time of our parents' past or our past. Within the last, approximately 10 years, the party scene of our youth has changed drastically, and it's leading straight to death. I just was notified of another death a month ago in Utah. Not all the reports have come out, but definitely it was vodka, which is the most popular drink out there among our youth, involved. And we have another 16-year-old beautiful boy who is gone off our earth. This isn't isolated incidents. We're losing our kids all the time. And the thing is we don't know it as rapidly as we should. We have another article coming out next month in a national newspaper. So, again, that I'm so happy that will bring more national attention to our national problem with our youth right now. My dream, worldwide, and that we know how dangerous alcohol is, especially to our youth, like rat poison is, and that we abolish adults serving our teens alcohol. It is extremely dangerous. It is nothing like how it affects us. They are in extreme danger for death with it.
Well, this and your work, I know, has resulted in laws and everything that have been passed.
That's true.
And okay, well, we're going to go to Fred, but we want to come back in the last segment. Is the near future here?
Okay.
Fred, the Missing in America project. You talked about how it got started, but once you saw it, what happened?
Well, once I saw the problem, we started calling and looking in some other states and found that this was a problem. I think I mentioned that I was associated on the national staff with the Patriot Guard Riders, and they then looked at making and gave us some very good advertisement nationwide that this was out there, and so other people in other states started looking. You know, you have to understand with this project that what we do is that this is kind of a skeleton in the closet of our nation. We're talking about something that nobody wants to talk about, everybody wants to avoid. If you even look at government grants and things that are available, there's not a grant that's available for burials, for veterans, for anything that we do. So we're treading on some ground that's very difficult, and it treads in a very way that threatens Privacy Act laws. It threatens that you're dealing with families and death and sensitive issues. And so we have to spread our word in a very difficult, slow matter that we have to work with the funeral homes. We have to convince them that we're honorable, that we have insurance, we're not going to sue them. We've had to get government recognition to try to do that. And some of that's very slow because, again, there are agencies and things in our government that this should never have been a problem. I have some international contacts, but most of the people overseas don't have the same problem. I think in America we became so nuclear families by moving and doing stuff that we tend to have forgotten. We're not anymore the agrarian society that takes care of our parents and our grandparents and keep them on the farm and do the work for them.
That's right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about how the government, some of the government changes you have made. I want to talk about your run to Arlington. And then we should have about enough time to then at that point to come back and talk about the future of what you're doing. And also, they want websites. When we come back, we'll give the websites also. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, greatest place to go in to get your coffee. Joe and Shelley support our community. They support what goes on. They're supporting the MIAP. They support Shelby Rules. They do what's best for the community, and they support it in so many different ways. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. My guest, Debbie Allen, of Shelby Rules Foundation and Fred Salanti, the founder of the Missing in America Project. Both are up for the most prestigious honor of Citizen Service for Self honors. And they're two of the 20 finalists in the whole nation. We're talking about their organizations. Now, Fred, after you, okay, we talked a little bit about Missing in America Project, but now you have just launched it. And give us an overview of things that have happened now.
Well, basically, again, I mentioned some of the problems that we're talking about, and one of the biggest stepping blocks has been always that most state laws and most stuff, nobody's allowed to release information except for the next of kin who's on record. We have now went to 15 states and have laws passed that now open that up so that those funeral homes and the people can release the information that we need to submit to the Department of Veterans Affairs to get them recognized as a veteran or a dependent. The Department of Veterans Affairs has recognized us in the fact that we're able to sign all of the proper document and get people interred and be able to actually be in charge of transporting them. California's law that was just passed, that was sponsored by Jim Nielsen and passed on August 27th, makes California the most unique state that we actually have a county representative called a Veterans Remains Officer, which in this Shasta County is Rick Peretti, who is my super right-hand guy.
Yeah, Rick's been with you from the beginning on this.
Almost everybody in this town has been with me from the beginning.
That's
and the support of this community is the reason that we have a success, and that starts from Jim Allen of Allen and Dahl Funeral Homes. If he hadn't have opened his doors and let us start to really make what was a vision and what was what I saw that was happening, he made us, gave us the ability to make this reality and put it out and let the world see. And we did the very first service here in California on Veterans Day at the cemetery, and we have since buried over 200 people here in Shasta County. And again, we're talking that we have support from everybody here local. I have four memorandum of agreements with other states that don't have laws yet that are working on it. We have four or five more states that are in the process of copying the California law and putting it in place. And that then allows us to be in charge of every unclaimed veteran in the nation when that happens. And that's basically to research and get them identified. I have national agreements with the Funeral Directors Association, which is what was written up in the recommendation for this award. But I also have a national agreement with Dignity Memorial Group, which has over 2,100 funeral homes, and we are authorized for all of them to release information and let us verify it. But there's 54,000 funeral homes, Carl, and we've only visited 1,400. So where do we have to go? Wow.
Well, I think your bottom line is the government needs to step into this one. I mean, big time.
And, you know, the problem is that a lot of people first comment is, well, where's the VA, where's whatever? But, you know, when these people are held in a private facility like a funeral home or in some cases a state hospital, the VA doesn't know. You can't blame the VA for not doing something they don't have a clue about. We become the facilitators that allow that information to get to the government. And I'm not too sure that we can ever get out of that part of the business because in Canada, a similar program started after World War II for Canadian veterans, and their Department of Veterans Affairs adopted them in and made them an integral part of being able to still be there. So when we say even if the government steps in full time, there has to be infantry, Carl, and whether they're Marines or whether they're Army or whether they're ever, there has to be boots on the ground.
There has to be boots out there that will do it, and then turn over the information to the VA and let them work from
That's
there.
That's what the whole thing is about.
Well, now, got a couple minutes left here. You, and this is something that's close to my heart, but you made a run from Reading to Arlington to bury three heroes. And it was also, it garnered national recognition.
I think that is partially what is the result you're seeing with this nomination, because we had two Silver Star recipients, one from Cottonwood, one from Sacramento. And then we also had a Medal of Honor recipient from Arizona that we, state of Arizona, gave us the ability to have the right to have legal authority to take him out and bury him at Arlington. So we took our two Superstar veterans from here and the Medal of Honor recipient, and we went across the country. And, of course, this community came together and donated all the funds that allowed that to happen. So, again, this community supports everything that we've done.
The North State, yeah.
And I'm just saying that there's no way we couldn't do something that we've been doing, and we've expanded in some other areas that we'll save for the very last part, Carl. But I just can't say enough to this community and all of the organizations here that it doesn't surprise me that there's two people here when 30 other states aren't even represented for this award.
No, you know what? You know, Fred, that's a really a good point, and you're right. It doesn't surprise me because of the type of community we have and the type of individuals like you and Debbie. Okay, before we go to a break, websites.
Shelby'sRulesFoundation.com.
www.miap.us.
Okay, and I've got things in here. People are congratulating you. Congratulations to you. Two very large missions today and Monday, talking on Vera's. I wouldn't want to be on the panel has to decide who gets this award. Both these guests deserve it. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about future in our last 4 or 5 minutes. Carl Lindebot. The home of Free Fire Media, Carl and Linda Bott. It's our last segment for Friday here. Portion brought to you by BNT Satellite. 244-1988. They put in Dish Satellite. They do a great job. Our guest, Debbie Allen from Shelby's Rules Foundation and Fred Salanti from the Missing America Project. They're here because they have been nominated for the most prestigious award given to civilians in the United States, the Citizen Service Before Self Honors. 20 finalists. Two from Reading, and we've been talking about what they've been doing, and we're just so proud of y'all. Debbie, where are you going now with Shelby Rules?
Well, I hope that this attention coming this way will lead to many more invitations for presentations at the high schools. I always say it's the kids that keep me going. Why? Because they learn. 45 minutes to an hour of education, and they learn big time. I want it worldwide to be known how dangerous this is to our kids. I've had two passions in life from the beginning, kids and, you know, music and singing. And I want our kids safe. And right now I want to change the norm. Somehow, I don't know how, our society has come to a norm, some of us, of thinking it's okay to feed kids alcohol from our adults. Who would have thought that? And trust me, I was around an entertaining household, but there was never a thought that adults would feed alcohol to kids. And on the opposite side of that, kids knew that's adults' drink, right? And if you got away with sneaking around doing it, it was less than what's happening now. To give an example, I just got an email from a high school in Utah, same area where this child was lost. And as a prom, part of the prom package gift, these kids were allowed to give away wine glasses engraved and beer steins engraved. And on top of it, on the news, the principal is defending that, oh, it's just glasses are going to sit on a shelf. You know, come on. This is showing you that our norm, our way of thinking in our society, not everybody, but it's there and it's dangerous to our kids. And the kids get the idea that this is okay, it's safe, because, you know, of course, adults are like
adults
allowing
are saying
it
it's
to
okay.
happen.
Right.
So my goal, it's worldwide. I want it to be known, like we know rat poisoning without even thinking about it, that alcohol that we don't even call a drug, is a poison, and basically acute alcohol poisoning is an overdose to our kids. So I want this to hopefully lead to many more invitations, because, like I said, one little seed that gets out there of education spreads out into so many ears, and we're seeing the results of that now.
And I've seen many of those letters. Anyway, okay. Fred, got a couple minutes left here.
Well, I'm going to take the couple minutes to say that we're going to do just what we've been doing for the part with veterans, but I'd also like to mention that the Missing in America Project is legal in California to do funeral escorts. We have one today for Molly Wilson's husband at at 1 o'clock from Palisadro. We have another one Monday that's a PGR mission that we're going to assist with the escort with for a Sergeant First Class lady that came home with two tours in Iraq that died.
Yeah. I mean, we know this lady. her son was on his way to Afghanistan. They had to pull him back.
Exactly. And and every Sunday morning at our office on 1180 Industrial Way, we do a food bank for homeless and needy veterans and their dependents in coordination with Reading Loaves and Fishes and Trader Joe's. We have a medical loan equipment program out of that same office for any veteran or anybody that's waiting for wheelchairs or something to be delivered to them, and we loan that. We do most of the events in combination with the Walmart Heart Program, where we're going to feed 500 people for the chapel on the 19th. We'll feed at Memorial Day for everybody. We're doing a Camp for Life 17, 18, 19 in June out at the Need Environmental Camp, where we have terminal ill children and their families that we're going to bring all the way from Oregon and California in, and MIAP is sponsoring and funding that with the Walmart Heart Program. We're helping to work with the wall. We'll feed all of the policemen and every veteran when the wall comes to the convention center at Big Bike Weekend, and we'll feed for free every policeman and veteran that shows up. So we're trying to help pay this community back, Carl, for the support they've given to us, and that's what MIAP, and I've got just a wonderful group of people, and I couldn't even begin to tell you in an hour all of the people in this community that supports us.
And, you know, Fred, thanks a lot. And Debbie, you know, you two didn't do this for honors.
No.
I mean, you two did not do this for even, you know, for recognition, for acclaim, for anything. You did it because it was the right thing to do.
The right thing to do right out of the heart.
And I've been watching Fred from the beginning. I was fortunate enough to be there right at the beginning when Fred did it. And the amount of time, and Fred, I'll say this, you know, Fred is you know, has a couple of medical a couple of medical things that might keep other, like, normal people down, that Fred's up pushing all the time. I was there with when you started yours too, and I cannot tell you, and I can speak for the community, of how proud we are of you two. And that the honors that I hope will be bestowed on you all is will do one thing for you two. It's not going to pump you up. It's not going to make you puffy. What it's going to do is give you another voice, another level where it's easier then for you to spread the word about what you do, because that's the way you are.
That's right. And I'm so proud to be here right next to Fred. And
I can't tell you what, you know, our studio is honored. We've had a lot of people in here, and you know that. But we are honored by you two being
here.
Thank
you, Carl.
Well, I just want to tell people that, one, I vote for Debbie, and I vote for some of the other people if I had a choice in this matter.
Agreed.
There's some really heroes that are nominated for this thing. So I'm happy to be considered in the 20 finalists. But I know personally if I was voting or doing stuff, there's some other people besides me that would get this award.
Yeah, not from me though. It's you two. It's you guys. You're ours. Hey, you belong to us. Okay. Hey, okay, now one more time the websites.
Okay. ShelbysRulesFoundation.com.
MIAP.us.
Please go with your children and sit and visit our website and learn about alcohol poisoning.
And you know, all the things on the chat room here, thanking you so much. And I thank you so much. When do you think you might hear? Don't know? Okay.
Well, the 22nd is when they say they're going to announce it.
Okay.
Right. That only gives 2 days to get there if you get it.
So, unless they tell the contestants before that.
Yeah, I expect a phone call. Let me pull you back in again.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
Carl, thank you so much for having us.
Is that it? Okay. Hey, just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. And let me tell you, I got the good guys in here with me today. Have a great weekend. Come on back on Monday. We got Nadine Bailey. She's going to be talking water wars and what's going on up north.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.